Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Kyrie Irving spoke. We know he's been AWOL for almost 2 weeks. He's supposed to play tomorrow. He practiced today. He's supposed to play tomorrow. He will have missed 7 games for personal five for personal reasons, 2 for COVID protocol. And he spoke to the media today, I guess after practice. I don't know if it was before or after practice. But here's what he had to say.
The fans out there, want to apologize to them as well. You know, my commitment has always been to bringing something special to Brooklyn. And, you know, I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces. And we just move on. And I let my actions and my game speak for itself like I planned on doing. Just needed a pause. Just a separation between what's going on here, you know, when I'm playing professionally and what's going on out in the world. And if you don't create that distinction, then it's easy to feel the weight of the world while you're going out there and playing. This team environment here, or just in basketball in general, it takes sacrifice and compromise. You know, we got to come to an agreement and just stay in balance throughout this long journey. So that's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, Rob, did you see the interview or at least snippets of
it? Yeah, I did. Yep.
Yeah, I think we just make observations. Let me start this by saying I'm no body language expert. I'm no psychologist.
You haven't interviewed him. You haven't.
Right.
You're not diagnosing him.
No.
Right. Chris Nothing. Is not a doctor. He's not playing one on the radio. Yep.
Exactly.
So I want people to know that up front. That's not what we're talking about. Please.
Right. This is just an observation. From watching Kyrie in his interview, he looked despondent to me. Now, maybe he was just tired. Maybe it was, you know, that's all I can say. Maybe he was just tired. Maybe he really didn't feel like talking to the media, which is probably true for sure. And he was just down about it. But he looked sad. And I came away, Rob, I feel like I have more concern for Kyrie now, his mental health status now, than I had yesterday, than I had a week ago. You know, when I thought, you know, he really is fine and he's just whatever. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's concerned about the Capitol and all that. But he just didn't look. He didn't look good to me. You know, his demeanor, his body language, his expressions. He rarely smiled. He smiled a couple of times. He said, "I'm happy to be back." He didn't look happy to be back. And again, maybe he was just tired or whatever. But I that was one of my observations. That was my initial one, Rob. The second one was that I wonder, could Kyrie have a savior complex? And that is a psychological term where I looked it up because he mentioned a point, and let's say this, he does some great things for people.
What's the story out there about the George Floyd family?
He bought George Floyd's family a house,
yep,
which is fantastic. He sent he paid the college tuition, I believe, for 9 students from HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. I mean, he's doing some fantastic things.
And don't forget,
things.
He also put up money for WNBA players who wanted to skip the season.
Right.
Chris, or right. Sit out because of COVID. He made like a slush fund to help them if they decided they didn't want to play.
Right.
I mean, this is
right.
not your average Joe.
He's doing some great things. And it's obvious he has a real concern for, you know, what's going on in our country and just helping people. And he mentioned that. He said, "I have a huge responsibility." He said he wants to help the underprivileged and things like that. But there is a something called a savior complex. Here's a few of the, I looked it up, Rod, some of the symptoms One, you only feel good about yourself when you're helping someone.
Mm-hmm.
Two, helping others is, you feel like helping others is your purpose. Now, these sound like good things. And three, you expend so much energy trying to fix others that you end up burning out. And that's what a lot of preachers fall, you know, prey to this, Rob, and other mm-hmm. people that are, you know, whether they work nonprofit or whatever. And that's the one that hit me the hardest, that you burn out. And Kyrie looked burnt out, you know, in the interview to me. Maybe that's why he needed to take 2 weeks off. He was burnt out, you know, and because he's so concerned about what can I do to help? What can I? Because we all were messed up and disappointed and saddened by what we saw in Washington. But you still, you know, I wasn't messed up to the point where I couldn't go to work. I couldn't function normally, where it was going to ruin my, you know, me for the next 3 weeks or anything like that. And so I'm throwing that okay. out there just because, you know, it made me wonder. It's just some observations.
I understand what you're saying. I think that's legit and a real concern. But I think it actually validated to me why he was gone. So I looked at it a different way, Chris. I agree. He didn't look the best, you know, or happy or snappy right. and smiling. But now I understand this wasn't a guy who was just playing around, who just didn't want to play, you know what I mean? Who was just bucking the system, using the capital as a reason not to play.
Right.
I saw this. Yes, this guy needed time off. That's what he looked like to me. You know, I'm happy he's back. I'd love to see him get on the court on Wednesday, but now this kind of made kind of some sense to me on why the Nets allowed him to go and do what he had to do, why there weren't other teammates. There could have been guys, Chris, you know this, off the record, Kyrie's this, Kyrie's right. that. We right. don't want
it
him.
It happens.
It happens. That stuff could be put out there, and an organization could put that stuff out there to make him feel unwanted, you know, put him in an awkward spot, turn the public opinion against him. Right. And the Nets did not do that. So seeing him tells me that, yes, he did need time off. I don't know about, you know, the extra days with the COVID, Chris, but there was something weighing on him. And it wasn't a mirage. It wasn't fake. It wasn't staged. This guy is a very, very different guy. I've said this over and over. I like him from the standpoint of he's not afraid to be who he is. Most people in life, Chris, aren't who they really can't really be who they want to be. Most people, right. for whatever reason, peer pressure, how people are going to look at you. You know what I mean? All kinds of stuff. And I don't think he happens to be a basketball player, happens to make a lot of money, but I think he would be the same exact way and trying to do to help people if he was a garbage man making 40 grand. I do believe that this is just who he is. And I do agree with you. He's one of those guys who cares and wants to change the world. I do believe that.
And he's got to keep that in perspective, though, because one person can't save the world. He's got to understand that. I'm going to throw this out, too, because I was talking with a former player recently, just a few days ago, and we were talking about Kyrie and that his whole situation and everything. And we were talking about Vince Carter. He came into the conversation. And we were both surprised. And this guy knew Vince. And we were both surprised at how long Vince played. What did he play? 21 years, 22
years?
Yeah, like
incredible,
like that,
right?
Because both of us, me as a reporter, him as a player, felt like when Vince was in his prime, like, you know, one of the best players in the world, that Vince didn't look like he loved the game. Not by his body language, but just by the way he played. Like, he didn't seem like he worked on his game as much as, like, a Kobe. He didn't, you know, his body didn't change from lifting weights and stuff. Like, he just seemed like he rolled out there and played off natural ability. And I never thought he loved the game. And then here he goes playing until he's 40-some-odd years old. And I asked the player, I said, do you think he, Vince, regrets that when he was, you know, super talented, he didn't give, you know, his all and as he did later in his career? He was like, no. He said, what happened was this, the pressure. Vince didn't like the pressure of being the superstar, of being the guy that had to go out and get 25 every night. You're going to lead the Raptors or lead the Nets to the championship or to the finals. He didn't like that. And he hated it. It wasn't him. And when he became, you know, a role player, he loved it. Like, he settled in. He didn't have the pressure of carrying the team. And he was fine. And I bring that up to say this. I don't think – I do – because I brought up last week, Rob, Kyrie looks like he may not want to be a professional basketball player anymore. I think Kyrie still loves basketball. I think he still loves to play basketball. I think he hates all the business aspects that come with being a pro basketball player. I think he hates talking to the media. I think he hates the pressure. Not that he can't handle it, because obviously he's a clutch player. I think he hates the constant scrutiny of his game and other players' games. I think he hates, you know, people talking about him every day on debate shows and radio. This is a young man that is living in a fishbowl because of, you know, what pro basketball is. And I think he doesn't like that. And I think some of that can take the joy away from him playing the game. I think that's a factor too, Rob.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Deshaun Watson. It seems like we've been talking a lot about Deshaun Watson lately.
Yeah, it's funny when you didn't make the playoffs how much press you get. Oh, I'm sorry.
You are down on Deshaun. My goodness.
Chris, it's too much. I'm like, you know me. I think I love Kurt Flood, what he did to stand up for the rights of players. You know I'm not one of these guys. This just seems to be out of okay.
Well, I guess you won't like this then. His Instagram account, his official Instagram account with the blue check mark, liked a picture from the New York Post that had this headline: the Jets should do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson to New York. And Rob, I read that story, and here's what they said the Jets should offer to the Texans. This sounds like a lot. Look, I'm in agreement. The Jets should go all in to try to get Deshaun Watson. But here's what they said they should offer: 3 first round picks, including this year's number 2, and Sam Darnold. And look, they got 18 picks over the next 2 years, but it, you know, 3 first round. I'm giving you Sam Darnold. They might not want Darnold. Maybe they would use that number 2 pick on a quarterback themselves, but we'll see. But that was the article. He liked it, or at least his account did, if somebody else runs it. What are your thoughts, though? I mean, you began. Go ahead and continue.
I'm first of all, if I'm the Texans, I'm looking for a deal. This has gotten to the point, to me, where it just seems kind of – it's gotten off the rails. You're getting away from football. All this other talk about the organization, him not having confidence in the organization, it's bad. It's going to be bad to try to get people to come, you know, and people to – when a guy is bad-mouthing an organization that he's still a part of and taking their money. But here's the other part. Deshaun Watson is talking out of both sides of his mouth because he says he has no confidence in the Houston Texans, but he wants to go to the Jets. The Jets have been a disaster in the front office, Chris, for a long time. Adam Gase was hired from their own division. What? They've had a musical merry-go-round of general managers. That organization is where you're liking that you want to go? Hello, Deshaun Watson, can I give you some NFL history? The Jets haven't won a Super Bowl, Chris, since?
Joe Namath.
No.
1969.
What do you say? I say too much. The Jets haven't won a Super Bowl since?
Oh. You got so many since Moby Dick was a guppy.
Yes! That's how long it's been, 1973. When sports writers covered that Super Bowl against the Baltimore Colts, they used typewriters. That's the franchise you want to go to? That's the one you have confidence in?
Wasn't it 69?
Huh?
You said 1973.
I was thinking of the Knicks. I'm sorry. Okay. 69.
It's been so long for all the New York teams.
Yes. I was thinking of the Knicks because they've both been a long time. But that's what I mean, Chris. I don't get this. This doesn't make sense to me. You're going there even though they have already a coach and a GM in place. You don't have any say in that. I just do not understand. And I'm not saying, Chris, out of common courtesy, right? If they were going to hire a new producer on our show, Rob G was going to some lame AM station.
Remember, he almost left us.
Four call letters.
He wanted to leave
us, you know,
a year or two
Yeah,
ago.
He almost left us.
He had his bags packed.
Right. And then Chris was happy when it didn't happen. Oh, was that me? I think that was me.
I was happy too. What are you talking about?
I wanted the best for him.
It would have been
no doubt.
But
my point is, it doesn't make, like, his narrative doesn't make sense if he's open to going to the Jets. That's all. There's a lot of teams, Chris, better organizations, better chances to win, whatever you want to say. But to say that the Texans, which have made that, which Houston, which has made the playoffs four of the last 6 years, is a bad place, and the leadership is terrible because they didn't tell you what they were doing in the front office hire. And you know what? I will be the first one. If they told them they were going to do that, keep your word. Okay,
they did tell
okay,
him.
I keep
Not
your word.
Not that he was going to make the hire, but you know, they
okay,
tell him they
fine.
They going to discuss it. With
but to get your panties in a bunch and to be all worked up and then to be cryptic and to leak out all this stuff and badmouth the organization off the record, it's bad. That's bad leadership. I don't want that guy leading my team. I don't care how talented he is. This approach is bad. If you don't want to be there, be a man, stand up and say, I don't want to be there. And then you make a decision. I always told you, Chris, I don't want anybody who doesn't want me. If you don't want, that's why I'm divorced. I don't want anybody who doesn't want me. And if you don't want to be on the team, let's just be honest. We got to move on. I'm not going to force you to like me. I'm not going to force you to buy in. Pat Riley said it, and to this day, I think it's one of the best sayings ever in sports. Either you're in or you're out. There's no other way about it. And right now, to me, Deshaun Watson is out. And if I'm the Texans, I'm looking for a deal.
Well, I really disagree with you, Rob. I disagree with you totally. I think, first of all, there's just looking at it black and white, I think that's how you're looking at it. But when you really dig underneath the surface and read all the stuff that's out there, okay, Deshaun went to the front office like, hey, the owner, I want to have a say. You know, I want to be consulted on the direction of the franchise, GM, coach, all that. Reportedly, he went on behalf of the team. Like a lot of the players voted like, hey, Deshaun's our leader. He's the future of the franchise. We want you to be the one to go to them. Because they see it. It's not just Deshaun. They all see DeAndre Hopkins being traded. They all see Jadeveon Clowney being traded. You know, they all see Jack Easterby, who I don't know from Adam, but he's risen from being a chaplain in New England to being running football operations, essentially.
Chris, he's a man of the cloth. Why do you have a problem if he's a football executive?
But that doesn't mean he knows football because he's a man of the cloth.
No, but that doesn't mean he doesn't know football either because he's a man of the cloth. So why would you bring up him being a chaplain? There are guys, the new GM in Detroit started out in the public relations department of the Rams or whatever it was.
Well,
he was a PR guy. He was a flack. All right, that doesn't mean he knows football. It don't matter where you came from. You do your due diligence.
Here's the other thing. There was and this shows you to me what type of person Deshaun Watson is. All right, there was a fan that followed the Texans to a game and held up a sign that said, Jack Easterby, this is the chaplain, Jack Easterby, chaplain or charlatan? Because there's all types of reports about how he has destroyed the franchise and all that. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what's being reported. And a fan had Jack Easterby, chaplain or charlatan, huge sign by the field, right? Deshaun Watson goes up to him and says, hey, why don't you stop holding that sign up? It's disrespectful. So that's the type of guy Deshaun Watson is. Rob, you remember the talk about Deshaun Watson coming out of college. Dabo Sweeney said he's going to be the next Michael Jordan, the Michael Jordan of football. People raved about his character. I think this is a guy of high character, but he sees misstep after misstep after misstep with this franchise. He sees them telling me one thing and doing another. He sees them hiring Tony Dungy and Andre Johnson and a whole firm to hire the GM. They give you two candidates of color for the finalists, and they hire a guy who wasn't even on anybody's list because Jack Easterby wanted him.
But that doesn't mean that that's the wrong hire. It doesn't.
It does mean that you lied to Deshaun.
No, come on, man.
Why did you even bring in Dungy and Andre Johnson
you can
and all
bring
these
in
guys?
People, you can bring in people to spread the net. It don't mean that you have
they
to take
spread,
the recommendation.
It was two guys that
But
hired
it doesn't
you.
Mean you have to hire anybody from that list. That's right. Not an automatic. Otherwise,
you're
Chris,
right. It
there would be no decision. You would say, let them pick the GM. That's not what that is. That's because you want to expect. You want to take a look at other people, but that doesn't mean that when you make a recommendation that they automatically hire from that.
I don't think Deshaun wasn't as even going to be that involved, but I think he wanted the firm that recommended two men of color, that recommended, you know, five other candidates or three other candidates. They had a top five, and they go out of the box and hire a guy who's close to Jack Easterby. This is what I think he's seeing. As far as the Jets, I do think the Jets should go all in. They got the number two pick. What, you're not getting anybody with the number two pick who's going to be better than Deshaun Watson? You're not. So if you get Deshaun Watson out of this draft, you have hit a home run. And maybe he's a guy that wants to be in New York. I've heard analysts and insiders say he spends a lot of time in New York. He's a big personality. He's a leader. He's mature. He seems like he could handle New York. And I think you're right. The Jets obviously haven't won much. But Robert Saleh is one of the coaches that reportedly he wants to play for. Everybody raves about Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator from San Francisco. And Joe Douglas, I'm not down on him, the GM for the Jets. Heck, he hired Saleh. Maybe he's a good GM. And so they've hired new people. These aren't the same guys stumbling around that they have been in the past
decade. Same
decades.
Ownership, just like in Detroit. They've hired 150 people of the same ownership. And, Chris, my only point, though, is that what happens, this is why if I'm the Jets, I'm not happy. What happens if the Jets are too – Yeah. If the Jets get Deshaun and they're 2-14 and some things don't work out, then he'll be bad mouthing our organization, saying how he doesn't want to be here. What? I mean, why not?
This is one time. It's not like he was a problem at Clemson.
I'm just asking you.
I'm
but how do
you
I know that?
I don't
that's
think
not
that's
who,
his character.
But how he do was, I? How do you know that? Houston's been to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, Chris, until this year. So you're saying that. But they were going to the playoffs.
When they traded away his best receiver, he
Deshaun
didn't even
Watson
make
had
a
an
fuss
unbelievable
about
year.
It. No, my point is he didn't make a fuss about it. No, most you think Brady would be upset if they traded away Gronk when they were together in New England?
Chris,
yes.
Chris,
you think
it happens.
Peyton Manning would have been upset?
It happens in the NFL
if they
trade
away Marvin Harrison.
It
yes.
happens in the NFL all the time. Then you know what they do?
No, it doesn't.
The Patriots,
they trade away your best wide receiver.
The Patriots refuse to pay anybody. They let a lot of players go who never got paid. Philadelphia let players go to get paid, Chris. It happens around the league. It's the way the league is set
you're
up.
You're reading this wrong on Deshaun, I think. I mean, I this is a high character guy, and the way that organization has been run is not high character. So I
totally disagree. If you ask most fans, would you take an organization to win, go to the playoffs 4 out of 6 years, the 1 year that they missed the playoffs, it's a bad organization. Why did you sign a contract with them?
He's not the only one saying that,
he could have forced his way out of there, Chris. Why would he sign a contract with people he don't trust?
Get the money.
No.
He was committed last year.
Sit to the side and say, I don't want to be here. I want you to trade me, and I'll sign with a new team. He could have done that.
Nah,
why not?
Nah.
Yes, he could have. He wanted the money. That's why.
It
didn't bother him.
It was all good a year ago.
No, he didn't bother him then.
No, he was in. But
yeah, it wasn't that because he got paid.
Since then?
People get big britches once they get paid. That's how it is.
I'm shocked that you're going along with this because this is nothing but the good old boy network. And just like Tony Dungy said last night, Deshaun is pushing back on it. This dude, Easterby, I'm glad he's a man of God. Praise the Lord. But that don't mean he can run a football team.
And it doesn't mean that he can. And it doesn't mean that he can, Chris.
You got to get qualifications,
Rob. It doesn't mean that it can.
So why don't they just hire somebody off the street? Because it don't mean that dude can't do it either. Why don't they just go into the nearby accounting firm and hire him to run the team? Maybe he'll do it. Do well.
Guys come from all walks of life to run teams. Fred Clair ran the Dodgers. He was a sports writer. There have been people, Chris, of all kinds of walks who have, you just said it before, Jerry Krause was a baseball scout, and he became the Bulls general manager. And you know what? Yeah, it was bad, but they won 6 championships. So don't make it like it's an automatic formula.
Yeah. Because of Jerry Krause? Or because of Michael Jordan?
But Jerry Krause was a part of it. He made deals.
You could have been the
GM
and they were going to win 6 championships.
It ain't automatically. He made the trade for Scottie Pippen.
You go from being a scout?
You cannot do that.
For in baseball to being the GM of a basketball team? You going to defend that?
It worked,
Chris.
That's
the good old boy network. It worked because Rod Thorn drafted Michael Jordan. That's why it worked. That's why it worked. You know it and I know it. That's why Jordan's the GOAT. And I give you, Krause was a good GM. I'm not going to rip him. But he also was part of the reason that team fell apart, maybe prematurely. All right, what do you think? Heated conversation.
No, it's just 877-99 Chris ripping a man
Fox.
Of the cloth. You better mark this down in Odd Couple history.
Yeah, mark it down. I'm not ripping him for his character. I'm ripping him for how is he running a football team? Because he went to seminary? That's not in the qualification.
Chris, your timeline, he also signed that extension after they got rid of Hopkins. So if he was so bothered Hopkins,
he
didn't have to stay there.
He wasn't that. He handled it like a man. He didn't like that you give away his best receiver, but he was ready to move on. He even said himself, I was at a 2. Now I'm at a 10.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm really interested to hear your opinion on this because obviously you don't like Deshaun Watson wanting more say in Houston. Well, Russell Westbrook.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Russell Wilson wants more input on who the offensive coordinator is going to be in Seattle. He wasn't happy when they let go Brian Schottenheimer. And now he says, I want to be in on who our next OC is. And Brandon Marshall, who, you know, our football analyst here at Fox Sports, co-host of First Things First, great wide receiver in the NFL. Here's what he had to say about the situation in Seattle. If I'm in Russell Wilson's shoes, direct quote, I go to the team and say, if you don't embrace what I want to do on offense, I'm gone. Rob, your thoughts?
I think that's extreme. I think you want to try to work.
Say, I'm gone. I agree with that.
Yeah, I just think that's extreme, and that's easy for him to say because he's not playing now. You know, like, oh yeah, I'll go in there and say, yeah, that's it. You know, hire who I want. We're running this. We're running that. I just think that that.
Well, Russell does. You know, I think he's got the power to say that. Don't you think he's got the leverage to, like? I mean, he's obviously made enough money. He could sit out if he wanted, and then they'd have to trade him.
Yeah,
I just don't think he'd do that. I don't think that's necessary, but I do think he should get.
There's nothing
some
wrong
say.
With consulting or talking to a right. guy. That's all, Chris. But when you're demanding that you be in the process and whatever, I just there's just been so many situations and whatnot, and I'm not a company man, but I think there's like limitations to what it is that you really know about it and how well versed you are. That's all I'm saying is. Is should they come and say, hey, we know we're thinking about like maybe doing this or whatever, you know, as we just had Charlie Cashley.
Right, what do you think about this guy?
For 16 years, he said he never consulted a player in 16 years. I know those were the old days.
But you know, I was going to say, things have changed.
I'm not naive, but I also don't believe that's how you do your business, because then who's responsible, Chris? If you go with his guy or his move or his scheme, and it doesn't work, who gets fired? Is it the GM who made the move, or is it you, the player? Who gets fired?
It ain't the player.
All right, then. So
you
as a
know
GM,
that.
As a GM, why should I put my job in jeopardy when maybe the player doesn't know what he's doing? That's all I'm saying is the onus is still going to fall on the general manager, not the player. The player will be like, well, I thought he was good. It just didn't work out. Okay, that's good. And the general manager gets axed.
I think you could look. You make a good point, because let's Aaron Rodgers, who's looking as good as ever under Matt LaFleur,
yep.
had no say so in who
Matt
the head
LaFleur.
Coach was.
Yep.
No. However, and you may disagree, but should the Green Bay Packers win this Super Bowl, or even just get there, and maybe they get to another one or two over these next few years with Matt LaFleur? I'm going to say, and I think others will too, they wasted Rodgers for that decade. McCarthy was a good head coach at one point, but he hasn't progressed offensively.
Yeah, but
he doesn't have the sophisticated schemes that these guys are running nowadays.
But Chris,
and I think they, and even not even just Mike McCarthy, Rob, but that you know this, the defense. Aaron Rodgers would have been well within their rights to go into that front office and say, hold up. I mean, we giving up 35 points, 37 points, 40 points in all of these playoff games. Can we strengthen the defense? And had he done that, he might have another Super Bowl.
I get your point, but also had he gone in, he could have suggested that they get a different coach, and instead of them progressing and getting better, they could have gone the other way. I think it's easy to sit back and predict that if Aaron had a say, it would have been better. That's the part that you can't convince
you
me
You never
of.
Know, though.
No,
that,
no,
that's
you don't
true
know.
A player,
but you don't,
a GM, an owner,
but you don't
you know
what know. I mean?
None
I get of, it, Chris. I'm not trying
guaranteed.
To say that they made all the right moves. But I just think you open yourself up for a lot. And as a GM, I'm just not riding with just the star quarterback telling us what we're going to do and the personnel and what we have to change and what we have to do, knowing that the salary cap implications, if we change away from this kind of offense to that, we're going to have to get rid of this guy. We have to add this guy. Do we have enough money for that? Is that going to balance out if we do that and run the offense that he wants? I'm going to have to drop two of my best defensive players to pay for it. I mean, there is
but
those
see,
kind of
there,
things.
There's the thing, though, Rob. You can, because let's say a player doesn't, just all the things you said, all the repercussions you said. If you run that by a player, he may say, oh, okay, I didn't know. Oh, no, I want to keep these defenders. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's different nowadays. These guys, and the NBA obviously is on a different level with this, but even now in football, I think these guys, the stars, it might just be the quarterbacks, but some of them are going to want stuff run by. I don't think any of them want to make the hire, because you're right. They don't want that responsibility. They don't want that burden if it goes wrong. But I do think they want in. But what if you said that we got five offensive coordinating possibilities, Russell? Let's run through some tape on all of them, what their offenses do. What do you like? What do you know what I'm saying? Like, you could do that because he's going to be the one running the offense. So
I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the hiring process.
Right. And I'll tell you what, Rob.
Consulting somebody, Chris, is not the same as saying, who do you want us to hire? That's
maybe this will
I'm
change your
that.
Mind. Seattle spoke with Adam Gase today.
Yeah, but I would say
and that wasn't
he's
Russell
failed.
Wilson's okay. Idea.
I get that. I understand that. I mean, I think that's taking care of a buddy. I don't think they really are going to hire him.
They better not be thinking about hiring him.
Putting his name back in the news so he's not doo-doo around the league. Because then people go, wait a minute. Oh, wow. They're looking at Adam Gase. You know?
I hope you're right.